Good afternoon, I'm Daniel Musisi, this is All Things Peoria. December is here, which means many households already have or will be setting up a Christmas tree to celebrate the holiday season. In this interview, Mike Blanks, owner of Blanks Evergreen Acres located in Creve-Coeur, speaks with Jody Holtz about how the family-owned tree farm has bounced back this season after closing in 2020 due to COVID-19.
It's actually where I grew up, myself, my siblings. So in 1986, I believe, was the first year that Dad planted trees. There's about 7.5 acres in Christmas trees, 10 acres total in the place. That gives us a 7-year rotation, which on some of the trees that we plant now is a little bit short because they take a little bit longer to grow. But originally, the Scotch pine and white pine we started with, that was a great rotation. Plant an acre or two a year, and that covered everything. I think we started selling in about 1994, and we've been at it ever since.
Yeah, so I know you opened for this season just last weekend. How did that go?
Great. We were very busy. We were up about 10% from 2 years ago. Last year, we did not open due to COVID, because that is Dad's home place where he lives. And we were a little concerned with having that big a crowd. I have a regular job that I work normally, so nobody was going to go without food or without a paycheck or anything. It was just a long 2 years without any income for the place. But I think it was the right decision. It was safer that way, and it gave the trees another year to grow and get a little more size to them.
Since you were closed for COVID, how does that impact the season this year? And is there a surplus of trees now?
I wouldn't say there's a surplus, because luckily where we're located in Creve-Coeur, we are surrounded by hundreds of thousands of people. We could probably sell twice as many trees as we do if we could grow that many. We have a very loyal customer base. Last year when we were closed, I heard from some other area farmers that wouldn't have to worry about customers coming back. We apparently had a very loyal fan base. We appreciate that. That was one concern closing down last year, whether people would come back or not. And I think last weekend proved that they would. And we will be open until the weekend before Christmas or until we sell out of trees, one or the other. If we have the same weekend this weekend that we had last weekend, we'll probably look close at closing down so that we make sure we have trees of decent size for next year.
How many different varieties of trees do you guys grow there?
We currently have 3, white pine, Canadian fir, and we have some concolor fir. That would be the 3 different varieties that we have right now.
Is there any danger or risk associated with a cut your own tree procedure?
We don't allow any chainsaws. We provide handsaws. I suppose someone could cut their finger, cut their hand if they weren't careful. If anybody is not sure about cutting a tree, we will cut a tree for them. That's why I have grandkids. They can go out and help with that kind of stuff now. But I would say cutting yourself is probably the biggest danger.
So do you have to rotate crops similar to like corn or soybeans, or can this land be used to grow Christmas trees indefinitely?
I would answer that indefinitely. Obviously, we plant the tree and then you're 6 to 8 years before harvest, cut that tree down, and then we plant another tree in the spring. I'll plant right next to the stump of the tree that was cut this year. And by the time the new tree gets grown up, that stump is rotted out. As long as we don't have any major pest problems, which I don't think we will, it'll be used for Christmas trees my lifetime anyway.
How taxing are trees on the land versus row crops?
I'm going to guess about the same. We do fertilize some. We try not to use any more chemicals, probably a lot less chemicals than row crops. So I would say we're a little easier on the ground than row crops.
Does the farm grow anything else, or do you guys sell anything else?
We do not. Dad started this as a way to use the ground and create a little bit of income. So we don't do pumpkins or things like that, like a lot of other farms do. And that made the decision to close last year a lot easier, because nobody was relying on it for an income. Nobody was going to starve because we were closed down and not have a paycheck. So I guess it's a big hobby.
What distinguishes Blanks Evergreen Acres from some of the other tree farms in this area?
I'd like to think it's our customer service and our family setting. I heard some people mention that over the weekend, that it kind of, they could feel the family vibe while they were there. We try to make everybody feel welcome. We try to pick on everyone a little bit, whether they're little bitty or they're really old. We try to pick on them a little bit. If you can, get out and buy a real tree. A lot better on the environment. And if you do buy a real tree, take care of it. Keep it watered so that it doesn't dry out. And you'll have a lot of success with them if they're fresh.
That's Mike Blanks, owner of Blanks Evergreen Acres, speaking with WCBU's Jody Holtz about the tree farm's impact on the environment and its recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information on Blanks, you can find Jody's story at WCBU.org. And in 6 minutes on All Things Peoria, Tim Shelley looks into the latest developments at the Distillery Labs Business Incubator downtown. Thanks for listening to All Things Peoria this Thursday afternoon. I'm Daniel Musisi. The COVID-19 Omicron variant has not yet reached Peoria, but local health experts are already urging Peorians to do their part to protect themselves and others. Dr. Sharjeel Ahmad and Peoria City County Health Department Administrator Monica Hendrickson addressed the new variant during a news conference on Tuesday. WCBU's Hannah Alani reports.
The COVID-19 Omicron variant is emerging at the same time that COVID-19 infections are rising in the Tri-County. OSF Dr. Sharjeel Ahmad studies infectious diseases and teaches at the University of Illinois College of Medicine, Peoria. Currently, Ahmad says there is no information to suggest symptoms with Omicron are different than those of other variants. However, he says the Omicron is potentially more infectious.
It has about 50 mutations across its genome, and out of these, 32 affect the spike protein, which is your target of the antibodies generated by infection and the target of your vaccinations. So many of these mutations were not observed in other strains. By contrast, other variants such as Delta have fewer than 30 mutations.
Dr. Ahmad is urging Peorians to get vaccinated and boosted if they've not already done so.
The thing is, we have to remember the studies also suggest that people can boost their protection against any variant by having the 3 doses of vaccination as well. So this is a variant of concern, but it doesn't mean this is a variant to be panicked about at this point.
Ahmad says the Delta variant is still the predominant strain affecting the Tri-County. Peoria County is currently seeing the highest surge in active COVID-19 cases since April 30th. As of Tuesday, 593 patients with COVID-19 were isolating at home, while 16 were being treated in area hospitals. Peoria City County Health Department Administrator Monica Hendrickson attributes the recent rise in cases to cold weather. She also says a third of new cases are among children. With the emergence of the Omicron variant in South Africa, Hendrickson is urging residents to get vaccinated and receive their booster shots if they're eligible. Hendrickson says boosters are critical because immunity from initial vaccination can eventually wane. If people do not get their booster shots, they not only risk future infection. Hendrickson says they themselves can be host to mutations of new COVID-19 variants.
This is a very precarious time we have right now. There's many of us, in fact, close to 54% of our population that have gotten their first round of vaccine. We need them to, again, do what they did the first time around and step up and get their booster.
Ahmad likens getting a COVID-19 infection with getting into a car accident. While nothing is guaranteed, the more measures of protection one takes, the better.
We all follow DUI laws. We all follow, wear seat belts. Our cars have airbags. Do we still hear of car accidents, for example, where people had all the airbags were deployed, the seatbelt was on, but people still suffered a severe injury? I think I try to give the same analogy about these. These are one of the tools of prevention. So same way, you know, you get the vaccination, it does reduce your risk of severe infections, severe illnesses as well. But yeah, we still encourage them to do other preventive health measures as well.
Hendrickson says the now widely available booster shots will help fully vaccinated residents maintain their level of protection.
As their immunity naturally wanes after the vaccine, some individuals have maybe taken less precautions than they have in the past. And so then that doesn't necessarily, you know, benefit them. In fact, it creates a larger population again, or more individuals that are susceptible to get the virus. And sadly, every time you get the virus, as we saw in South Africa, there's a good chance that you can then become a host and mutate it further.
Ahmad says getting a booster shot can also help those who have developed breakthrough infections and symptoms of long COVID.
And, you know, as time goes by, we learn more and more about this again. We're learning people having lasting lung damage, people having the long COVID symptoms. So people forget about those things, that this is not just like, oh, it's a flu, it'll be one and done and you'll be fine. Some unfortunate individuals are going to have long-term sequelae from these infections. So a booster definitely is going to probably help you in that regard from avoiding long-term consequences, even if you have a mild infection after vaccination.
Any Peoria resident over the age of 5 can receive a coronavirus vaccination through the health department. Additionally, anyone over the age of 18 who is at least 6 months post full vaccination is now eligible to receive a booster shot. Illinois residents can also receive free COVID-19 testing at the Peoria Civic Center parking lot, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Ahmad says these tests can track the Omicron variant if and when it reaches Peoria County.
Our current testing, which is the gold standard test, is a PCR test. It can detect this variant. There are more studies ongoing to determine whether it will have any impact on other types of tests, such as rapid testing. Obviously, there'll be more data coming over the next several weeks.
The Peoria City County Health Department is offering vaccines and boosters at its Peoria headquarters. For the latest updates on COVID-19 in the Tri-County, visit WCBU.org.
Scientists are optimistic about the effectiveness of Pfizer's new COVID drug.
I think this drug, along with the drug from Merck, are both very promising antivirals.
A study shows that taking Pfizer's pill cut the risk of hospitalization by nearly 90%.
And 100% protection against death.
But how was it developed so quickly? On the next morning edition from NPR News.
I'm Ariel Jones. Listen weekdays from 4 till 9 a.m. on 89.9 WCBU and WCBU.org.
You're listening to All Things Peoria this afternoon. I'm Daniel Musisi. Peoria's Distillery Labs is getting the final push it needs from a $2 million Economic Development Administration CARES Act grant. Tim Shelley spoke with Distillery Labs CEO Paul Lehman, OSF Healthcare CEO Bob Searing, and Greater Peoria Economic Development Council CEO Chris Setti about how the space will serve as the lodestone for entrepreneurship and innovation across the region.
We've been busy working on all different elements of the project, not just the physical space, but the programming elements as well. So with this additional $2 million, we are able to move much more quickly to construction phase. So we are in the process with our architects and engineers to go into construction drawings. That process is started now, working through kind of the final elements now that we know that this is going to be able to be built with that additional $2 million EDA funds. We can finalize all the different programming elements inside the building, hopefully get through construction drawing early next year with maybe swinging some hammers by springtime is the goal. So hopefully this was the last piece just from a building development perspective, since these are capital project dollars in addition to the $10 million from the state. So not operating dollars, but dollars that have to go into construction of this building. Now that that's final, we can move into the final phases of construction here.
Yeah, but my thoughts were, you know, it really does help expand and really maybe complete the vision. You know, it was certainly the initial grant is very good and would allow us to do a lot. But we, like any project where you don't have as much money as you might like, you start to make choices. And again, what that additional funds will allow is to add back in some of the things that we feel are very beneficial, but frankly would have had to make a different decision without that grant.
And then Chris, from your perspective, I guess there's a lot of various entrepreneurship spaces around the city of Peoria. How does this kind of expand upon what's already there?
Well, you know, entrepreneurship and innovation is really at the core of our economic development growth strategy in the region. We will always want to work with our existing, you know, business like OSF Healthcare and make sure they're, you know, growing and are successful, and always look to attract businesses, you know, to the community from outside. But it's really growing businesses from within, you know, OSF Healthcare is a great example of what was once a pretty small business that started in, not too far from where Distillery Labs is going to be, and that grew into a very large and important business. And that's really what we want. This is a team approach to this really critical economic development initiative. And Distillery Labs, obviously, it's a facility, and it might be kind of the representative heart of the entrepreneurial ecosystem, but really it's about the programming it offers. And that programming is offered not only in the building, but it's gonna be throughout the community. It's just as important for Pekin and Morton as it is for Peoria as well. So it's a physical location, but I think it's really gonna be an important player in our economic development landscape.
Absolutely.
That's a good comment. If I can add to that, Chris, I really think you said that very well. I think, again, if we think of it as an innovation corridor, and that corridor stretches from the area around Distillery Labs. As Distillery Labs, OSF's new ministry headquarters will be across the street, and our on-call office is just down the street. Caterpillar administrative headquarters is there. Bradley University is there. University of Illinois College of Medicine at Peoria is there. And then as you head sort of eastward, you've got OSF St. Francis campus with JUMP, and then going on out to ICC and up to the Ag Lab. So you've got a lot of areas of innovation that are in this corridor, and the opportunity, really the fantastic opportunity with Distillery Labs is to what extent can it serve as the convener of different pieces of that? Not all of it, not all innovation is gonna live at Distillery Labs. Certainly, but does it serve as a great convener for a lot of those different pieces that want to come together or work around a particular idea or an innovation?
What does Distillery Labs look like? What does this innovation corridor look like? And what does this mean for the greater Peoria area at large in the future?
10 years down the road, we're looking at a center that has a growing pipeline of companies from the very, very early back of the napkin phases all the way through companies that have gone through financial raises, whether it's Series A, B, or C with a venture capital firm, maybe a few exits. And then we'll have a bunch of firms in the middle. So whether it's 5, 10, 15, 20 more natural fiber weldings, and then hundreds of entrepreneurs kind of following in that same pathway. So I've seen this in other ecosystems across the Midwest. I was in Indianapolis for about 8 years, and I think Peoria is probably about 5 to 10 years behind where Indianapolis was. And I saw this ecosystem growth through Indianapolis, and it was really pushed with a lot of entrepreneurial companies that had started in the early 2000s. That exited. One was Exact Target that sold for $2 billion to Salesforce. And all of a sudden you've got 30, 40, 50 senior managers and executives at Exact Target. They're not ready to retire. They're ready to start the next company or invest in other companies. So the flywheel of the ecosystem really begins to churn about that 10-year mark. And so I'm excited to see, that 5 to 10 years, this will be a completely different community from an entrepreneurship and startup perspective.
And that's the piece that I'll build on. And Paul, you talked very well about Distillery Labs itself and then began to branch out to the community. And I'd certainly like to talk about the community because, again, it's building that ecosystem throughout. It's really changing in some ways the culture. You think about Peoria, and it did start Distillery. That was part of the heritage here in the early years. Was the distillery, the manufacturing of various types of spirits, and then distributing that, and then moved very much into manufacturing, Caterpillar and others, but by and large driven by Caterpillar. And now we've seen another change over the past years to healthcare, and not just OSF. Yeah, obviously, we're here and we're one of the large players, but we're not the only player. And so healthcare, the healthcare ecosystem is quite strong in Peoria, and that is helping to sort of remake or reimagine the city. 5 to 10 years, I'd like to see the city reimagined again. Not that I'd like to see healthcare be de-emphasized. I think it can actually benefit greatly. But I would think, downtown, that sort of corridor, the Distillery Labs maybe at the heart of it, but really tentacles going throughout. that really has created that ecosystem that has changed the nature, and having folks, as Paul said, I've got to be in Peoria for X, Y, or Z reasons.
I think that this, the distillery labs and the ecosystem that it'll be kind of a part of, can be a powerful attraction tool for both, you know, individuals, even people who aren't entrepreneurs themselves. Places that have the kind of vibe that we are very hopeful that this will help kind of create are the types of places that people want to come. And we think that it can be an attraction for companies as well, right? That because they'll recognize the talent pool that's here, they'll recognize the supportive environment. And I think it can, you know, as companies that are, you know, in other parts of the country that are looking to scale up their business and understand their business, but they're afraid of going to a Chicago or a Boston or a San Jose because they're just too expensive, we'll find a place here in Peoria and say, you know, that's the kind of supportive ecosystem that has all the tools and resources I need, but in a low cost environment. And I think it's another potential win for the community for sure.
That's Tim Shelley speaking with Distillery Lab CEO Paul Lehman, OSF Healthcare CEO Bob Searing, and Greater Peoria Economic Development Council CEO Chris Setti about Distillery Labs. Thanks for choosing All Things Peoria on WCBU. I'm Daniel Musisi. We had story help today from Jody Holtz, Hannah Alani, and Tim Shelley. You can find all of today's stories at WCBU.org. That's also where you'll find links to subscribe to the All Things Peoria podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, or NPR One. And we want to know what you think of the show, so comment on our Facebook page. We're Peoria Public Radio. Or follow us on Twitter at WCBU Radio. This is WCBU Peoria, 89.9 FM, and WCBU.org, a public service of Bradley University and Illinois State University.